Program. So allow me to introduce the case writer and the moderator for this program. His name is Larry Siff, and Larry and I have known each other for more years than Larry or I would be willing to discuss in public. But Larry has two roles. One, he is the CEO of Neptune Advisors. It elevates middle market companies for growth and success. In 2023, Neptune Advisors was the winner of Corporate LiveWire's Innovation and Excellence Awards. Congratulations, Larry. Larry is also the CEO of the C-Level Community. It's a membership-based platform connecting middle market leaders and C-level. By the way, could you mute yourself, please? We're getting some experience. He's the founder of the annual Pathways to Platinum Conference. It's designed for CEOs to share best practices in management and oversight. C-Level Community is both an online and an in-person thought leadership program. Larry is a member of the National Association of Corporate Directors Board Leadership Fellow. He's currently a member of the board of the directors of the Mason Companies. He's an independent board member. He's an advisor to Sherwood Partners, a boutique investment bank. He's chairman of the Asia American Chamber of Commerce, director of the 210 International Foundation. Larry has previously served as a member of Kiam Foods, Jones and Vining, B&W Footwear, Gordon Brothers CNI, Tree Products, and Ambassador Shoe Company. Prior to Neptune, Larry was principal and managing director at Gordon Brothers, $50 billion investment and transaction advisory firm. At Gordon Brothers, Larry founded the commercial and industrial products area. He would become two of the firm's largest divisions. Please mute yourself. As the director of strategic acquisitions, he led transactions from $5 million to $2 billion. Welcome, Larry. Nice to have you here. Now let's go around the room and talk with our designated advisors. So the first is room one with Chris, Cindy, John Morgan, and Lisa Thompson. Do you have a spokesperson?
We do.
So what did you decide?
So every one of us said that we would take the opportunity because we think the chance to have a huge impact is there, and because it's not that uncommon of a problem. We would have two key questions, though, or things that we want to address. One, we would want to talk to the CEO about, if we were Matt, we would say, look, this is what I need to be an effective board member for you. And it also, we would test how serious they are about growing to 500 million. And again, say, look, if you want me to be effective in helping you get to 500 million, there's information like your financial statements that we need to look at, among other things. But we also agreed that particularly where this is family, you can't really, I mean, even if it wasn't, but especially where it's family business, you can't just walk in and say like, hey, this is what you need to do. We need outside training. We need this. You got to build relationship with the CFO and the CEO and the family members and build some trust. And then when you establish a relationship also with the family members, you can, you know, begin to talk about what a high impact board looks like. We were a little bit mixed on whether we would hire someone or, you know, just teach the board ourselves about how to be an impact board. There's some, you know, pros and cons to both sides. And then we did say that we would do more due diligence. We'd at a minimum ask for financial statements. Someone also said to get the audit auditor's report, and then also the bylaws. And we did say that even though we all said we would take the job, there was a little caveat in there that was like, hey, if we'd get in there, get into our first meeting, but if we saw something that was, scary, or they weren't going to share, findings with us, we would rethink it at that point. So possibly audit first meeting.
Thank you, Lisa. Next group is Babs, Cynthia, Doug, Lauren, and Marianne.
Hi, I'm Lauren Intinarelli, and I'll be speaking for our group. We had a lot of conversation around observations about the case, such as claims that the folks that were currently serving were independent directors when it didn't really come across in the case details that they really were independent. There were some comments made around, when you come on as an independent member, but then you realize that that's not really what the company wanted. It's a little wounding to kind of realize that. We did make an observation that it would be an interesting board to join, but we would want to have at least one other independent board member to join with us. So Matt wouldn't be the only independent member coming in. We also discussed that we couldn't really tell from the case details what Matt's frame of mind was. And so we talked a little bit about that. Is he wanting to come in to help be that change agent? We weren't really sure what his motivation might be. It also wasn't clear to us whether or not Steve was the chair of the board, and we felt that that dynamic would have an impact as well. And then there also wasn't information around the strategy to double that growth. So we had some broad conversations around those observations and some personal stories that were shared as well that folks had experienced on their own boards. A couple of the options that we kind of zeroed in on was should get the commitment from the board, Steve, to have another independent director brought on. So we kind of created a fifth bullet point under the options. We did discuss having a third party come in, noted in the case details, like an NACD or another type of consultant. The folks around the discussion table felt that, sometimes in their experience, consultants are brought in and then those recommendations are tossed right out the window and not followed. So there were some comments made about that. We also discussed perhaps suggesting a committee structure. It wasn't clear that there was one for the board. Audit committee in particular was discussed for this particular case.
Thank you very much. Next group is Amita, Bill, Juliana, and Piper.
This is Juliana here. I'm going to represent the team. We went to a similar route than the first group. But what we said is we would start by having a conversation with Steve, saying that, we wanted to have a little bit broader conversation, understand better the expectations and the rules of engagement. And for that, we would like to observe one board meeting and then share back feedback after the observations, because there were a lot of potentially concerning comments made by the other board members, but we didn't want to react on secondhand information. We wanted to observe firsthand and then be able to provide feedback, but also have a deeper conversation in terms of what is really that Steve and his siblings are expecting from the board in terms of professionalization. What does it mean for them? And so have a conversation, maybe have, this observation in the first meeting and then provide more feedback. We did consider bringing the consultant, but similar to what, I think Lisa said, maybe not right away. And maybe part of the role that Matt would have to play is help structure what the board, what a more professional board will look like, because it's often common. And it sounds like it might be the case in this family-owned business that the board is not very well structured. That was potentially something that was going on there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next group, Craig, Frank, Larry, Robert, and Stephen.
So this is Craig, and I'll be providing the thoughts of the group. Number one, we do think that Steve should have done some more better due diligence before committing to join. We think that he should sit down with Steve and really get an understanding of what the expectations are for his role, for Matt's role. And asking questions, how do you plan on growing 500? Do you have a strategy? Do you have a strategic plan? What time frame are you looking to get there? Are there any initiatives underway? Is this going to be organic growth? Is it going to be acquisitions or some combination of both? Have they really thought this through? Because Matt really wants to understand what he's getting himself into. Will it be a productive relationship, particularly with Steve, who seems rather sort of the alpha male, if you will, or will there be a lot of tussling and fighting in that relationship? Matt needs to determine, how open Steve will be to new things, trying different things. How communicative will he be? We had some concerns about that. How open is he to change and to actually leading any change initiatives? We also, as a couple of other groups alluded to, thought that the idea of an outside consultant would make sense. But we also wanted to get his opinion of the current outside board members. What he wants to professionalize. Now, we as Matt may not know that, but what did he bring us in to do? What does he feel that the current board members, outside board members, are not doing that he would expect out of me? And that wasn't really clear to us. Those were sort of our thoughts.
Thank you. And the last group is Brian, Craig, and Karen.
Karen, we'll do the summary for the group. Very similar to Craig's team, we felt a key point was doing the due diligence a little earlier in the process, and the strategic plan would be key to understanding the skills needed on the board. We do feel that Matt should take the role, but he should start the due diligence process now before formally accepting. Some of the considerations we wanted to understand better is when Steve decided to professionalize the board, or the family decided to professionalize the board, again, understanding what the current board structure is, what committees are there. It seems like they're lacking a governance and nomination committee to understand the skill sets needed. Someone had mentioned, what is the path to growth? And if there's acquisition, you'll need to get some technical skills in along that. Probably want some financial skills in to challenge the financials and the cash of the growth suggestions. The other question that Matt should ask is, what are the bylaws and how can they enact change? Or is he a member that's just there to check the box? I think Matt, it would be important to Matt that he actually is a change agent in his participation of the board. We also agreed that it would make sense to bring a consultant in. And if I didn't mention it, I think we decided that changing out more than one independent director at one time would help the independent directors have a better voice while they're on the board.
Good.
Craig and Brian, did I miss anything?
Nope, overall good job. I think one of the things we talked about, and it was mentioned from the other groups, is the strategic plan. Is there a plan? And then based upon that, how can the board help execute or influence or direct? That was unclear. It was just a number was thrown out. There was no timeline. So I think it's critical to understand that. And we really did think you needed more change than just bringing on Matt, and to do that sooner rather than later, if we're truly going to drive growth at the pace that they've desired. So
thank you, Brian. So Larry, you want to comment on the comments?
Yeah, first of all, they're all excellent comments. So let me comment. I'll give you what really happened here. but a lot of your comments were obviously right on. So just to clarify some things, you have a family business. And as I quoted in a Forbes article I wrote on family business years ago, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's business, right? And you got a family business, family controlled, And they had had a board, as you could tell, for decades, right? 32 years, one had served on the board, and it was all the local yokels. And they basically were, if you talk about extremes of boards, on the one end, you have the rubber stamping board, and the other end, you have the extremely active board, right? And these were the rubber stamping boards. They all went in, they went in for the board meetings. There was no challenging. You could tell the financials were put up on a screen. They never gave any materials in advance, and financials were taken right down because those are confidential. We wouldn't want anybody else really to know them. So they literally would flash them and take them off the screen. So, I mean, talk about a board not operating the way it should. And yet at the same time, it wasn't just the three of them as family members. The family really wanted to grow the business. Financially, the balance sheet was extremely strong, so they could grow both organically and through acquisitions. In fact, fast forward, they did do an acquisition, around $100+ million acquisition. So they did have that ability, but this current CEO in particular was the one driving it with the other family members to say, I can't have a board like this anymore. I mean, the board is just not professionalized at all. It's not challenging me. And that's when they decided, as we see is very typical when they bring in the first outside board member, they want someone who has deep domain expertise within their industry, which this person had. They wanted somebody who knew and understood a family business. He had done that. As you could tell, he had 16 family members in business. So they wanted all this. But his big thing, if you notice that he made a quote that he wants to be a growth creator, right? So how do you go into a situation, be a growth creator in this situation? And he did decide, Ed did decide he was going to accept it and he would go out there and have a meeting with the CEO. So he did that. So just to address some of the questions that you had, obviously he could have walked away from it, right? I mean, you could argue he should have done, as some of you said, he should have done a lot more due diligence. It's just the openness and transparency. And we've advised now over, 300+ businesses and over half are family businesses. Openness, transparency, and family businesses can be all over the place. So how open were they going to be? He had no idea. All he knew is he was based in Philadelphia. He also knew he had to address immediately the compensation because what they were originally offering me is like, that's not going to even pay for my garage in Philadelphia. So he had to change some of the comp things, but he wanted to know specifically from Steve, the CEO, how open are you going to be to new ideas here? Because if you want me coming on and you're saying you want to be a $500 million company and you're $275 today, do you really want to be this? And do you want me to come on a board and start to challenge you, challenge your assumptions as you go through the strategic plan and the growth initiatives, or challenge the way you've been doing things? In terms of committees, you're right. The committees were loosey-goosey. I mean, it was the family members. So Steve, in fact, chaired the board and chaired the comp committee. And the way it would work in the comp committee is they'd have breakfast before the board meeting. And it'd say, oh, this is what we want to be compensated this next year. And everyone would say, yes. And that was done. And they left the breakfast and went to the board meeting because they didn't want to discuss in the board meeting what the compensation was. They did not have an audit committee. One of the local board members you saw came from an accounting firm. That was the accounting firm they used, but there was no audit committee. The governance committee was just them deciding, hey, who do we want to bring on? And so that's what they did. So one of the things when Matt accepted this whole thing is when he came on, he said, we've got to change this, right? And you've got to bring in more independent directors. Which they didn't want to do, as you know, but they agreed to do that. I mean, they wanted to do it. They just were going to do it over a period of time. He got them to bring on, I think, the second independent director, probably about 6 months after him. And so he was happy with that. They're originally going to bring on that independent director a year later, got him to bring it on 6 months. And during those 6 months, he definitely said, look, we have a governance committee. And in fact, he was the one, he became, that became the one chairing the governance committee. And then he said, we have to have an audit committee. So he chaired the audit committee. So he's like, I don't want to be chairing every committee here. So you've obviously got to bring in independent directors. He did observe and spend time, obviously, in the first board meeting with the other board members. And again, he didn't want to like hit him over the head with this stuff, but he's like, materials have to be in advance, right? You've got to get us the materials and you have to be comfortable sharing the financials. There was no formal strategic plan. Probably no surprise to you. So their objective of we're 275, we're going to get to 500, looked good on paper for the financial part, but there was actually no how to. There was no plan behind it. So that was one of the things that Matt, when he came on, he insisted. He said, look, you need to have a plan here. You need to put pen to paper to tell how we're actually going to get there and how much is going to be organic, how much is going to be growth through acquisition as we looked at it. He also said, look, it's not a good use of my time to just have your senior executives do. And he observed this in the first board meeting. He said, Matt said it after first, I don't want this whole dog and pony show. This is not, I don't want to fly in from Philadelphia to have everyone just present. That's again, not a good use of my time. Get us the materials in advance, I can read it, and then let's discuss questions around the materials. The other thing is he had learned, remember Jim commented that about Steve, as CEO, dwells on mistakes of the past, that he wasn't future focused. So that was another thing Matt wanted to help with other independent, like how do we get this board and this business really focused on they're here today, how do we get them to the next level of profitable growth? So just to address the things that you were saying, I'm looking at the different rooms here. Matt wanted to make sure up front that this would be taken, his role would be taken seriously. He in fact said, look, if you don't want me here, I'm gonna go back to Philadelphia, but if you're gonna have me here, I'm gonna be here to add value. So you've gotta take this seriously. And if you seriously wanna grow to 500 million, you've gotta have a plan to do that. So he did that. He did get to talk to some of the other family members to understand where they were coming from and why the growth was very important. In retrospect, in speaking to Matt, he had said, yeah, I probably should have done a lot more due diligence, but I don't know how much they would have honestly shared with me if I had come in and said, I want to meet all the things. I mean, I may never even gotten into them to do it. So he thought it was better that he accepted it and go and then start to ask a lot of the questions. Let me see. Oh, a change agent. Matt very much wanted to be a change agent. He said, I view it as a growth creator. That's what I view. He had been on a number of boards, one another industry board or similar industry board, but he very much wanted that. He also had recommended down the line that they do training together and they go to a National Association Corporate Directors event together. And they ended up doing that. But I think that was about almost 2 years into it by the time you had at that point, three of the independent directors did have an audit committee that was brought up. And his other big thing was he wanted, because this was brought up, I think it was room number two, maybe it's Juliana, I think was bringing up about feedback. He observed the first board meeting and afterwards he sat down with Steve and said, I want to give you my feedback. I've sat on a lot of boards. We've had boards ourselves. Let me give you feedback. And he saw that Steve was open to that and reacting to that and said, no, these changes you definitely make sense. He goes, just, we didn't know any better because this is how we've been always doing it for years and years. Steve was very much committed to try to professionalize the board and not have it in, bring in the best athletes from across the country. So that was good. Craig just answered some of your things. He wanted very much productive relationship with Steve. He wanted to be able to communicate, which he felt, and that Steve was open to change and wanted these changes, just didn't necessarily know how to go about the changes. And the current board members, that was a question you had raised, Craig, about the gaps. The gaps were, basically they went in because they had strong relationships and with Steve and the other band. In fact, they were all going fishing for like 10 days together. I would put independent in quotes around. This is not independent board members, right? These are basically board members where they were going to present and they were just going to rubber stamp whatever they wanted. And they enjoyed their time together and they enjoyed their time outside of the board meeting. Let me look, Karen here about Matt taking the role and starting the due diligence, which is really what he ended up doing. The path to growth, as I mentioned, was a combination. It was going to be through acquisition, this major one they did, $1 million acquisition, and then plus internal organic growth. And they did have the financing for that. The bylaws, yes, there were bylaws in place. The bylaws were not up to date. Even if you saw one of the board members who sat in there came from a law firm or partner in a law firm, the bylaws needed to be updated and changed. And then Brian had brought up about strategic plan. There was none. It was just a financial plan. And then just driving growth. And that's what Matt really wanted to do. And so we got involved actually after Matt had joined the board. We were hired as advisors for the CEO and the board. And that's when we started like, you got to have a real strategic business plan here. And that's where we helped. It was actually the board member, the outside board member said, you should call Neptune. And that's how we got involved. So we really helped them very much. And we also helped them, we believe very much, once you have that 3 to 5 year strategic business plan, you can identify the skill sets you need, right, for future board members. And some of those you may have within management team, some not. And that was the other thing we did. We helped them as they identified future board members so they didn't have everyone coming from the industry. So, and also diversity, just in terms of board members, which was also important. If you notice that the current board was not very diverse. So,
thank you, Larry. Let me just open up the floor for questions for Larry. Anybody have any questions for Larry? No. So how did it work out for this company?
They didn't get to 500 million, but they got for 400 something million dollars and a very profitable company. So I think they're very pleased. They also brought in all the independent board members as they talked about. So it was a 7-member board, 3 family members, 4 independent. So that's another thing, obviously, NACD and other organizations recommend that you have the majority of independent. And these were truly independent board members. They were unbiased. They didn't have relationships with any of the current family or any of the current members. They didn't own any stock. So they really were truly independent board members who they brought on. And I also think that as someone who, because we've got to observe some of the board meetings, they had the wisdom to ask great questions to make the CEO and the team better. And the CEO, they seem like they wanted to be challenged, which is always a good sign, right? And now other things that we recommend and change, we're big fans of, have a one pager that outlines your 3 to 5 top strategic issues that you send out with the board package. We request at least board package be sent out 5 days in advance. They didn't always, they get it out 2 and 3 days, but compared to when we first started and we interviewed, obviously, Matt, and then they were looking at, and then we talked to him about bringing on the second one. He was literally getting the presentation as he was flying in from Philadelphia. That's how bad it was. And, that's really inexcusable. So we talked to the CEO and the rest of the management team about how to do that. Even if 1 or 2 slides or whatever they're going to present are missing, just get it to them in advance. And obviously for Matt and talking to him, it was a learning curve for him at the beginning. He knew the industry. He just didn't feel like the board itself, he was being run the way it should be run, obviously. and that he didn't want to waste his time. It's like, otherwise I'll leave the board.
Let me move the question to a higher level. You sure. Work with a lot of family businesses.
Right.
Are there certain things you look for if you're an independent director approaching a family business? Are you looking for certain diagnostic signs that I suggest this is going to work out well, or, you know, be careful?
You're saying in terms of the company, as you look at companies, you mean red flags?
Based on your experience working with family businesses, are there certain diagnostic signs that independent candidates to join the board should be looking out for that are either positive or negative?
Yeah, I mean, I think that do the due diligence, right? Talk to anybody and everybody you can. So talk to current board members, talk to even some past board members if you can, you know, talk to the family members, and then the basics, right? I mean, you know, all the fiduciary responsibilities. And part of that, I think it's a good idea, by the way, to get, assuming they have minutes from the last meetings, get, you know, previous minutes over the last year and everything. So get as much due diligence as you can get done. And then also attend, if you can, if you have that option, attend the first board meeting and see if they're really focusing. Most boards talk about, but don't necessarily focus on strategy. And that's really where you want the board to be, right? You want it to be much more strategic and focus on strategy. And most don't do that. Just like most don't talk about their customers or competitors. And if they do, it's from 50,000 feet up. So
any questions, comments for Larry? No? Well, thank you very much for
some. It was a fun case to talk about, Larry. Thank you.
No, sure. Thank you.
Piper, I was gonna ask a quick question. Yeah, I was just gonna ask in the context of overall family businesses, how right. often do they actually set out to try to professionalize the board in this intentional way? I mean, it sounds like Steve was very open and intentional about it, but I would imagine a lot of times it's a messier process where they are maybe forced to, or maybe they just don't. And I'm just curious about if that's a thing that they recognize that they need to professionalize.
Yeah, I think that very much depends on the family business and what they're trying to do, because a lot of family businesses, in my opinion, don't go about it the right way in terms of, you know, they don't go to Larry and say, hey, help me to get some board members and let's identify the criteria you need and the skill sets you need. Instead, they'll be like, oh, I know someone who belongs to my country club or my Rotary club. I'll put them on my board. I know they're on a lot of boards, right? And that is not the way to go about it. But I think you're right. I mean, the question is, if they sort of want just to view it as like a cash cow and they're just going to keep running as a lifestyle business, that's different. We find that when the ones want to take it to the next level, and particularly got a company here doing 275, they want to do 500. That's when they realize, you know what, I don't really have the armory I need to make that happen. And why am I spending all this time doing these board meetings where I'm just not getting much out of it? And that's what the family really realized. But it took them, you know, decades for that to realize that was a wake up call. So, and not all have that, but you're right. Some, obviously, if they get in distress or forth, that's a different thing. Then you have others that, you know, they'll put them in and get them involved with the business.
Well, thank you very much. And if anybody's interested in following up with Larry, just do a Google search on Larry and Neptune Advisors. What's your website, Larry?
www.neptuneadvisors.com.
Okay, that's great.
That's easy.
Also,
at neptuneadvisors.com.
We have very wisely decided that we're not going to compete with Santa Claus next month. So there will not be a seat at the table in December, but we will look forward to seeing you in January. Meantime, I want to wish you all the best for the holiday season, and I want to wish us all a very peaceful 2024 as well. Yes. Take care. We'll see you in December, in January. And
remember, Santa Claus is a family
Happy
business.
Holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.